There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome to Spare Change, Stack and Pennies, presented by Mobile One, Ryan Flores, Corey LaJoy, Danielle Trotta, fresh off practice and qualifying. It's a home game, which means we had a little fun before we got to the track today. Corey's third kickball classic was such a blast, and you're the champ once again, Corey. Congratulations.
Well, I needed to do something to keep my pride intact. It was the first year that we've ever taken an L by the Built Ballers during our competitive bracket. So that was a wound that's cut deep and still hasn't healed. I don't think there's been one text message in the thread since we've taken the loss. So that was tough, and it's going to force me to have to re-rack it. But we turn around and we had a lot of fun, and our Celsius team, against all odds, was able to take home the gold medals. But it was such a cool event. We sold double the amount of tickets we've ever sold, and we got the final numbers, and we were almost $250,000 raised through that event.
Flores, if this whole pit crew thing doesn't work out, you're a hell of a play-by-play man.
Well, I am one of the most decorated kickballers in North America, so it helps. But yeah, it was came off a devastating loss, as Corey said, and it's just tough. But yeah, it was fun. It was fun to go out there, and it's nice because we were locked in too, so I wasn't worried about pulling a hamstring. I had a week to recover before I had to get back to playoff racing.
Yeah, so everyone understands there's the competitive league, which was before the celebrity tournament at night, and that's when you went upstairs to the booth, called some great games.
Yeah, you can rewatch it on YouTube. It's there on NASCAR's YouTube. So yeah, it was fun. Me, Chuck, and Merriman got to make fun of everybody from up top, and watched Carson Hocevar run from right field to right in front of the guy who could have caught the ball in center so it could bounce off of his face and seal it for the Celsius team. So he's been doing great on Sundays, not great on Thursday night kickball pitch.
You'll have that. Pressure packed. I mean, the game was on the line.
Big time kickballing. Kid couldn't handle the heat.
Yeah. But
no one told me that you were, like, you have to stop at second. Like, if you run past the base, they can tag you out.
That's just baseball rules from the time you're 3 years old. So really nothing's changed there. It's just you have to have a little bit of base running knowledge.
And Apparently, I don't.
No. BJ McLeod, he was on our team. He got tagged out running through second base. That's a lot of man. A lot of man running to second base and just couldn't get that weight woed up. But it's become such a fun event. Everybody that has a hand in putting it together, everybody came supported this year. It was bigger and better than it's ever been, and it's going to continue to grow. And I think we've struck a little bit of gold with just that format, so it's been a ton of fun. So, but even though we play hard, we have to work hard, and that started today here at the Roval. A little bit of practice and qualifying, or yesterday as you're listening to this. I stand here on a Saturday afternoon, frustrated as normal, because I feel like you never qualify as good as you'd hope unless you're on the pole like Tyler Reddick is. We unloaded really fast. We were fourth overall, first, as it generally goes. The first group has a green racetrack, really fast, and then the second group has a little bit more rubber laid down, so they don't have quite the same speed, and then it flips for qualifying. And I just wasn't able to put down or back up and find that speed in qualifying. So we ended up 11th in our group, which was a little bit frustrating, but it doesn't take much to be off. We were, I think, 3/10 from being 4 or 5 spots better, being on the fringe of that top five. But I feel like our car's good. Just have to get a little bit closer. And with as close as everybody is anymore, having a little bit of reservation because Ty wrecked his car exiting turn one on his second lap. Those guys are going to a backup car. There's a little bit of reservation in the back of your mind, like, hey, man, put a solid lap together here. Leave a little bit out there because it is easy to slip a tire and get into the wall. A couple of different areas on the racetrack. So if you have that little bit of reservation, it's going to show up on speed, and you're going to be, you know, beat by a couple cars that you probably shouldn't. So that showed up. Hopefully I can make up for it here today.
Where do you think you perfect lap? Where do you think you would have qualified? You think you'd have gotten in the top 10 again, or do you feel like you don't have the same car you had in Indy?
Watkins Glen was where we had a lot of pace, and then we started in the back. Okay. That shock, but it would have had to been a really perfect lap to be in the top 10. I feel like we could legitimately start at 14th to 18th and been on the front side of the Hornet's nest and give ourselves a chance to get some stage points as guys elect to stay, give up track position at the stage break, or guys stay out and take stage points. I think we'd have been in a pretty good spot for that, but started a little bit further back. So Ryan's going to have to get a little crafty to try to get us up there.
Wondering, Corey, how you feel about track position in terms of trying to make your way through the front, what you sacrifice in terms of strategy with stage points and going for the race win. I know that's always a delicate balance, and especially for these playoff drivers, looking at Kyle Larson, he had a major issue here. He's going to a backup car.
So I think, you know, we all sat here and talked to Bristol how him starting from the trunk is going to be a huge detriment to his day, and he almost got stage points in stage one. So, you know, Kyle Larson's a champion, one of the best that we've seen in our generation, and I think that Cliff is going to have more opportunities to play with fuel strategy, to flip or do the opposite strategy as some other guys, and Kyle's going to have the pace to be able to maintain if he's in a tire deficit. So I anticipate the five being in contention, but to be able to break that bubble into the top four or five of those guys running elite pace will be a different story. And especially when you have a couple guys from the outside looking in that qualified well in the 45 and the 23, it's going to be a dogfight all day.
Yeah, the 8 car as well, right? So you would think the first stage is 20 laps. The 45 car starting on the pole has to try to lead every lap and win the stage, right? Like, they're going to be buried after that. But, you know, that's going to be even the tougher part, I think, for Kyle to get stage points is that the cars in front of him, Tyler Reddick, Bubba Wallace, Kyle Busch, those guys, even like if you look at Chase Elliott with the owner standing, like those guys could stay out. So that's four or five cars that are going to, you know, take away his chance to get up there. But yeah, it's going to be, like we said, Bristol ended up being a funky race. But man, this is going to be a challenging one. And there's a lot of cars in front of you that have potential to run off and get caught up in somebody else's mess.
Man, it does not take much to slip a tire. We saw where the five car hit. He has hit that spot and been a toe link the last 2 years in a row. So he slides. The racetrack's got a tight, slow right-hander, and it loses a lot of elevation. The car really compresses as it comes back up the hill for a left up onto the big racetrack. And if you get into that elevation change with a little bit too much right or lateral grip, you're in a four-wheel drift. And we've seen Kyle Larson make the mistake twice now. That's taken him out of contention. Luckily for him, he made the mistake in practice and hopefully doesn't make it tomorrow. But that's something that takes one lap's concentration to take you out of playoff contention. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, speaking of guys that are below the cut, I mean, Kyle Larson, he enters above, but he's only at plus 15. Now he's starting in the rear. Tyler Reddick's below the cut, only by 2 points. He did his job today. Starting on the pole, Bubba Wallace, his teammate, also enters below the cut, minus 9 on Sunday. Bubba qualified top 4, and Kyle Busch is in a must-win situation at the bottom of the barrel. So you have three of the four who are below the cut are starting top 5. So Tyler Reddick, Bubba Wallace, Kyle Busch did their job today. We'll see how it plays out Sunday.
Yeah, so if I haven't seen pit roadmap yet, but the 45 is going to have pit stall 1 here. It's a huge advantage, and the 5 car obviously loses their pit stall selection. But even when I look at, you know, the four guys that are below the cut, it's the one that's only plus two, and Brad Keselowski is six out to me. Not a strong qualifying effort. Hasn't really been super strong on road courses, so I'll be interested to see what Matt McCall does with strategy. I'm not counting the one car out either, right? Strong qualifying day. He's in the top 15 there. He's had pace here before. He struggled here before, but man, I think along with everybody else had kind of written Bubba Wallace off until you saw the speed in these 2311 cars and how he executed qualifying. I'm happy that we won last week. That's all I know.
Pressure's off.
Yeah. Came here today. I think we're all here at Charlotte Motor Speedway today. Came here, walked around the gypsy tents, got some die casts, brought the kids on the rides. I feel like a lot of times, like just flying in Sunday, I don't get to do that fun stuff. So got to walk through. The kids were excited when they saw your face on the side of the Team Chevy hauler ordering by your merchandise. They said, "There's Corey! And Joey!" So it's cool for them to walk around. A lot of seven car merch, so that was always good to see. And the midway was rocking and rolling.
Got a lot of penny stackers out there. I feel like I've taken the same pictures with the same 40 people that were at the kickball deal on Thursday, fan day at Spire yesterday, P&Q today. I feel like, how many more pictures, selfies do you need? I've taken a picture with you once every day for the last 3 days. But who am I to say?
They're going to make a calendar for you. Pictures? They need 12. One for every
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess so. So, I don't know. Going to right here in the backyard, being able to drive home, sleep in your own bed, come turn around, come back race day. A lot of friends and family in the grandstands and in the infield. It's always a special one. And you always want to compete in front of the home fans. So, I think we have a pretty good shot for tomorrow. Probably we can stay on the racetrack and put in the hunt.
So a fan stopped me today, a really sweet lady, and she's a big Stacking Pennies fan. She had a question, Corey. She noticed that all of your buses are out there in the driver-owner lot, but it's a home game, and you guys always brag about sleeping in your own bed. So why do drivers have their coaches out at Charlotte?
So I think for here, the buses are more for the wives and the kids, more so than they are for us. I'll probably have about 40 people stuffed in here tomorrow or today with the Floreses and his two kids bouncing off the walls, people up and down every square inch, my mom, Kelly, the boys, next door neighbor, some fan they probably found out in the tent zone. So there's no telling who pops in to your bus during a Charlotte Motor Speedway race weekend, but it's always a good time.
You say the kids sleep better in the bus than they do at the house. Are you staying in the bus or are you staying at the house?
I wish. I would. Levi's been coughing a little bit. I might just shack up here in the bus tonight, get a good night's rest, but I know how that would happen. It's probably better off for me just to go.
Ryan, does anything change about your job, your routine for a home game?
I mean, not really. It's the travel and everything is different, but when the garage opens, it's all the same stuff. This is one of my favorite places to pit. Tight pit boxes, though. So I'm happy that they're doing stage breaks, so it'll be broken up, so there should be less cars on pit road at one time with everybody being on a different strategy. But, yeah, this is a place I'll be interested to see pit stall selections and who we're next to.
So but who we got? Who you picking? Who's looking good?
Before I can pick anybody, I got two questions for you. What's tire fall off look like?
Couple seconds. So I believe at 80-90 was the pole, or that was what AJ Allmendinger ran the first round, which was the fastest lap. I think the pole might have been at 81 flat. I was seeing race pace 82-70s to 83 flat after six or seven laps. So 2 seconds to fall off quite a bit. So depending on passing opportunities and passing zones, tires are worth something. You know, I think that if you see a late race yellow under 10 laps to go, you'll be a split decision on guys electing to stay out and get field track position. And you'll see a guy. I don't think if it's less than five to go, I don't think you can start deeper than probably eighth with 10th maybe on tires and get that track position back. But they certainly are worth something.
All right, for picks, I do not think the bottom four are going to stay the bottom four. Because Tyler Reddick is down there, and I don't think he will be by the end of the day. And not just because he sat on the pole. I think he just entered. He said 2311 has put so much emphasis and time into this race, and you could tell looking at qualifying today and just his practice times for he and Bubba. I think Tyler and Bubba are both going to make it. And I think Tyler's going to win the race. He'd probably be my pick, which means two fall out. I think Keselowski for me is one that I'm nervous about. I don't know the other. I agree with Corey. I feel like Larson can find something even in a backup car and starting from the back. But who's going to be that guy that just has a terrible day? I don't think it'll be the 5, but I'm not sure who it's going to be. But I think the 45 will win the race.
It'd be hard to argue with that. The Toyotas are strong. If I was going to pick any other manufacturer and somebody out of the playoffs, I would keep my eye on Daniel Suarez. But to me, it's either going to be the 45 and the 8. I think I'm not counting the 8 out yet as much as I want to. I've learned to not count Kyle Busch out. So I'm going to go with him for the upset.
I like it.
That would be – we've been waiting for a rowdy type blowout moment, right, that we were so used to seeing over his career. And, you know, obviously 3 wins on the year seems like they were – a year ago, but right off the bat of the season, they had a couple quick ones. But that would be a typical rowdy mic drop type of a statement win, like we're used to seeing them. So I don't hate that pick. I hadn't even looked at qualifying because I was a little bit aggravated, so I just kind of walked off and did that. But I know the 45 is good on average. I know AJ Allmendinger is good on average. I think that. I don't know. Who qualified 3rd?
Daniel Suarez. Amigo.
Who qualified 2nd?
Christopher Bell.
I like that one. Obviously, he's in the playoffs in a decent point spot. Won here last year to move his way into the round of 8. Obviously, knows how to get the job done. I'm going to go with the 20. I feel like he's locked in right now.
Great choice.
2 Toyotas and a Chevy. Closing thoughts,
gentlemen? I feel like we can run... We finished 12th here with a car that was not good whatsoever. This is where Daniel Suarez and I got into it. He ran in the back of me, then thought it was his fault that his power steering took a dump, and then he spun me through the grass. So we fought from a lap down, got back on the lead lap, drove back to 12th, and I feel like our car is considerably better than what it was last year. So depending on if we can keep our fenders clean, lay some good laps down, have a good strategy, I feel like we can have another top 15 day and keep chipping away at those couple guys in front of us in points. So that's what we're looking to do and stack some more pennies.
Stack them up.
I think we'll finish 7th.
Oh.
I would say that would be my guess.
Calling it.
But our goal for this week is just not to knock our stack over. Just don't lose any forward momentum. Go. Right? That's kind of been the goal for us, but I hope that you can. I think you run top 10, dude. Top 10, I'll buy you an ice cream.
Deal.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching. It's Spare Change by Stack and Pennies, presented by Mobile One. Enjoy the race. It's on NBC. It's on the big network. You can watch it. Remember, 4 guys are going home. An elimination race at Charlotte.